Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ever wonder what it takes to go from being an amateur to professional in sport? Welcome to An Athlete's Blueprint, the podcast that uncovers the secrets of champions to let you know what it really takes to win a medal or break a record. Speaking to players and coaches, I capture insights from the training ground to the world stage, having the conversations normally kept behind closed doors. An Athlete's Blueprint is the podcast for sports enthusiasts starting out or those chasing the next podium. Get ready to rethink what you know about competing. Let's meet Amebola Asundaro, a professional boxer who represented Team USA at the Olympics. In this episode, we cover what it takes to become a professional boxer, the risks and challenges of combating CTE, growing the sport of boxing in West Africa, dealing with boxing personalities, and life after boxing. Now it's over to the champ.
So, what advice do you have for someone who would want to be a professional boxer?
Okay, the advice I would have is to first try to become an amateur first. Usually, that's the usual route. You're an amateur boxer, and then you become a professional. However, I'm not saying that it's a needed route, but it will help, it can help you. I started boxing late. At 25 years old, 25, 26 years old. So I had about 20 amateur fights, and then I became a professional. Some people do it with less, and they do okay. But I would say to make it as a professional, you have to be diligent. You have to be focused. You can't have many distractions because the distractions is what keeps you away from the game. And if you're kept away from boxing, you could get hurt. Boxing is a sport where you have to be very focused and you can get hurt easily. So you want to be very careful with your training regimen. You want to focus every day. I'm either watching boxing, in the gym. My life revolves around boxing. You can't have boxing and then this and then that. You need to kind of focus. You need to focus on boxing if you decide to be a professional and a top level professional.
What made you become a boxer?
Good question. So I've always been an athlete since I was young. In college, I was a college athlete. I played soccer. I played football. I did track, and after college, I planned on going to the NFL. That didn't happen. I fell out with my coaches, I think my junior year, so that didn't happen. And anyway, I was really better at individual sports because in individual sports, it's up to you to do better. It's up to you to be successful. You don't have to rely on a team. And I felt I did very well when I was by myself. When all of the attention and demand was on me, I felt I did better. So after college, I had to find something to do. My brother and I picked up bodybuilding. So we started that, but bodybuilding is not very physical in the sense that when you compete, it's not physical. It's a little bit physical because it gets tiring posing. However, you're just posing. You're not using, I'm not jumping, I'm not using my lateral movements, my agility. I'm not doing all that. So after bodybuilding, I was winning every show. I won every show. I became a professional bodybuilder. And wow. I was ranked number one in bodybuilding. And after my last show, it was at the Natural Olympia. And after the last show, I felt like I needed something else. I don't want to say it wasn't fun, but I felt like I could use myself, my athletic abilities more, definitely. And then I wanted a sport where it's a definitive win. As in, if I beat you, I beat you. It's not it's subjective. It's more objective. However, in boxing, we've seen that it can be very subjective, where you could get cheated. It's happened a lot of times, and it happens now a lot of times. But in my head, I wasn't thinking like that, and I was thinking that, oh, if I knock you out, it's not subjective anymore. You know, I win if I knock you out. So that's why I picked up boxing.
And when you were first kind of, you know, getting ready for the amateurs, was there a particular coach or someone that inspired you to get started?
So when I was getting ready for the amateurs, I actually had a man, an older gentleman by the name of Len Thompson. Met him in the gym. He knew a little bit about boxing, so he took me to the local boxing gym where I met one of my amateur coaches. His name was Bill Haglin. He was also an older gentleman. Currently, he is 87. I met him when he was like 82. Yeah, wow. He was a boxing trainer. He has a lot of history, a lot of champions.
He's like an encyclopedia.
Exactly. And he helped me out a lot with the basics of boxing, how to win basic on an amateur level anyway. And he would tell you that. He said, I'm not a professional coach. I'm an amateur coach. I could teach you when it comes to amateur, but when you go professional, you have to find a professional coach. And yeah, champions like Fresno Quendo, Nate Diaz, they've won Golden Gloves. Nate Diaz went to the Olympics. I believe he won a medal. He became a world champion. So did Fresno Quendo, became a world champion. So that local Chicago Park District boxing gym has a lot of history with Bill Haglin. So I would say he helped me out a lot. And then after him, before I turned pro, I went to Nate Jones. Nate Jones is part of the Money Team. He's part of Floyd Mayweather's camp. He's his best friend. He went to the Olympics as well. He was a bronze medal Olympian in the 96 Olympics.
That's so cool. That's so cool. And yeah, I'm familiar with Nate. I've seen some of his work, and yeah, I know a few people that know him. So that's really cool. I'm glad that you two kind of linked up. And I was going to say to you, so going back to those amateur fights, what would you say, you know, how did you mentally prepare for them? You know, and what type of opposition were you up for, and how did you deal with that?
Amateur fights are very difficult to prepare for, opposed to the professional fights. Because of an amateur, you don't know who you're going to face all the time. A lot of the times it's tournaments, and during the tournaments, you're not paired with someone like 2 days before. You're paired the day of a lot of the time, so you don't know who to fight. And me, I'm the type of fighter that I watch film of my opponents. So an amateur, the best thing you do to prepare is stay in the gym, be ready, fight different, spar a lot of different fighters, a lot of different styles, because amateur is a point system. It's not really about knockouts. It's about scoring points, touching your opponent. So each point cost is valued the same. So if I do an uppercut opposed to a jab, it's still 1 point. So in the amateur, it's be in the gym a lot. You have to be in the gym.
And with the point scoring then, how many points can you get per round, or like how is that worked out?
Well, so in a point system, you could get 100 points or 100 points a round. You could get 1 point a round. You could get 500 points. Just depends on how the judges are scoring the round. So that's how they do it. And the punches have to be clean. There's certain there's specific criteria for a punch to be counted. So I know one of the criteria is it has to be like on the front knuckle of the glove. And it has to be in one of the accepted areas on the upper torso. Can't be behind the head or on the back or in the hip. It has to be up. Yeah.
And that's right.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And when you were training as an amateur, were you kind of like looking around thinking like, I'm pretty good at this. I think I can step it up a level.
Definitely. Well, before I started amateur level, I always had that idea and thought in my mind that I would be great at whatever I do. And it's true. It's been proven true that I am great at whatever I do. And that's the belief you have to have. If you in life, that's the belief that anyone should have. And that's the belief I have. And especially as someone in sports or in boxing, I definitely have to keep that belief that I'm going to be great, and that I'm going to reach the next level. So before I joined amateur, I had that idea. But during the amateur level, I did have naysayers. Oh, you've joined too late, that people have been boxing for 15 years. That
I was going to say.
Your time is up, that you should go do something else, that you could never be a national champion or go to the Olympic Training Center, which I did all of that, you know, in the short years. And within 2 years, I did all of that. I went to I went to multiple national tournaments. I won the USA Nationals, which put me as ranked number one in the country. Also, that led me to the Olympic Training Center. So I was on Team USA, the high performance team. So I did all that within 2 years of becoming a boxer, an amateur boxer. And yeah, so it's the belief in myself that led me to that.
That's crazy. I mean, that's something you'd normally see in like a Rocky movie, you know, because, you know, in any sport, from what I know, you know, you don't normally rise that quickly, you know.
Yeah.
Is boxing something that's always been, you know, in and around your family? Have you got other boxers? Have you always watched it? Where did this love for it come from?
Beating people up. When I was younger. See, I got into fights when I was younger. However, I never started the fights. And they were usually people older than me. Because in a sense, I have a slight disdain for authority. So especially when you want to abuse the authority, that's what I have the disdain for. You can't just say because you're older than me, I should do this. You have to give me logical reasons to want to do something. So a lot of my fights when I was younger were against older people. I would say I was fighting for justice, if you will. So yes, that's how I became a boxer. That's what led me to boxing, I would say. Fighting when I was younger, I didn't have any fighters in my family, no boxers, no... watching boxing, maybe I'll catch a fight here and there, but not really. It wasn't like something that was big, boxing. Of course, we knew the Mike Tysons, the Roy Jones Jr., we played Fight Night, the Muhammad Ali's, all those people, of course. But I wouldn't say that it was something that was in my household all the time.
Okay, so you go home, you say, Mum, Dad, or to your brother, you say, I'm going to be a boxer. How did that go down?
Good one, right? Well, I guess my parents, I didn't tell them until like my first boxing match that I have a boxing match. You know, my brother, he was with it, of course. He's always supportive of me. I have two brothers and two young sisters, but it's the one that's above me, older than me, that's the one I'm talking about. My parents and other relatives, aunts, are like, look, you're educated. you went to university, you have 2 degrees, a biology degree, an acting degree, that why don't you continue on that path? Go to med school, become a doctor, especially with Nigerian parents. They love doctor, engineer, all that, lawyer. They want you to become all that. So at first they didn't like it, but now they've seen that I'm very good at what I do and they're enjoying it.
And did your family come along to some of your first kind of amateur fights or when you were in the Olympics?
Yeah, they did. Yes.
That's great. And how does it feel kind of performing in front of your family?
So performing in front of my family is not really a big issue for me. It's like performing in front of anyone. I want to do better, or I want to do great. Do better than last time, definitely. And I got this confidence of performing in front of people or in front of family from stage acting. So I'm an actor as well. Not only stage acting, but film acting, TV acting. I've done that before boxing. So it's the same to me. It's performing and you want to do well. So I've took that experience and I've added it to boxing, or I brought it to boxing. And now, of course, you always... And football, too. Let me say football was part of it. Track as well. Performing in front of people. It's performance, you know. So I would say I still get the, can I say it's nervousness or anxious?
Yeah.
Where I'm like, damn, I got to perform or whatever. I better do good. I still get that feeling. However, I know how to breathe, meditate, be in the moment, and execute.
It's an interesting point you picked up there, breathing. How important is that? Because I know we all breathe, but I've spoken to a lot of athletes and they say, you don't breathe. You know,
they say they don't breathe?
Well, no, they're saying that average people don't, because they can't, they don't, it's a different kettle of fish when you're an athlete and your body is in pristine condition.
Oh, exactly. No, that's true. Breathing is the most important thing, and obviously it is to everyone. However, I'm saying that in sports, especially in boxing, breathing is very important because it's the oxygen that provides the nutrients to your blood so you can continue to perform. So when you are in a tense moment, people tend to stop breathing. They hold their breath. But that's the opposite of what you should be doing. You should be breathing, because breathing calms you down. It actually relaxes you. It keeps you grounded and in the moment. So that's why I breathe, and that's why I focus on breathing. And sparring, when I'm training, I make sure. That's one thing people say about me. They say, oh my God, when you're sparring, when you're in a fight, you're laser focused. It's like you don't see anything else. They don't understand that it's the breathing that allows me to be that way. They say, oh, you look very relaxed. That's something in boxing that a lot of people find hard to do. The reason why I'm very relaxed is because I got a lot of muscles compared to people in my own weight category or in boxing in general. Muscles take up a lot of energy, a lot of oxygen. So if I'm constantly moving around and wasting energy, it's going to affect me in the boxing ring. So I'm actually doing this to help myself, like to make sure I don't tire myself out. That's why I'm very relaxed. And that's why I'm breathing calmly and thinking about my breaths, taking deep breaths. And if I, let's say me and a fighter get in a clinch, I would hold and then he'll probably hear me breathing like slowly and heavily, because breathing is very important.
I have a question, actually. You see a lot of boxers go into the clinch. Is that normally to recover and get your breath back? Or is it sometimes, because, you know, they say people like Tyson Fury like to lean on people to put his weight on them and stuff. You know, as someone who's potentially more physical than some of your competitors, do you do the same sort of thing? Do you lean on them and, you know, do you take advantage of the clinch?
So I'm going to tell you this, any And this translates into life as well. Any position you find yourself in, figure out a way to use it to your advantage. So it's not that I necessarily go into a clinch for anything, but if I do find myself in a clinch, I will lean on a person, and it's called dead weight. I'm going to drop my weight and let you pick me up. So if we're moving, I'm going to drop my weight and then walk you kind of to the ropes and whatnot. So you're the one lifting all of my weight. Same thing, if we're clinching and then you put your head down, your head is not supposed to be below my waist or my belt line. I would kind of hold you down there, and then now you're going to be forced to, like, be fighting and wasting your energy. While me, I'm just breathing, chilling. That's what I do. But those are vet moves, though. People don't know that. Let me not just say vet moves, because it kind of came naturally to me to do that. So in a clinch, I would say that, yeah, I can use it to catch my breath, because in a clinch, if you're tussling with the guy trying to fight for positioning excessively, you'll lose your breath, you'll waste energy, and that's what I'm not trying to do in the box.
Pretty helpful, thank you. And I've always wondered, when you're in a match, and you know you're looking at your opponent the other side of the ring, and you know you're in kind of the later rounds, how do you find that kind of second wind to get off the stool and then keep going?
Right. So,
hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I take that back to when I first begin to fight. When I first begin to fight, I think of everything. First of all, I'm focused on my strategy, my game plan for the fight. But also, I look back to my family. I look back to my mission on this earth, what I have to do on this earth. That all propels me to move forward or to keep going. Also, the haters, people that want to see me lose. I think about that. That's a very strong motivating force, the people that want to see you lose. I think many people should find, there's always haters or enemies, if you will, that you've come across that you can use as motivation to keep going. So that's what I use to keep going.
Thank you. And you touched on it earlier, but being an actor, being quite confident in yourself and things like that, what's it like when it, you know, you're doing all the pre-boxing, you know, trash talking and things like that? Do you enjoy that?
Oh, I love it. It shows something. It's show business. You gotta love it. And we're losing that art. We're losing. People aren't doing that as much anymore, and we wonder why the ratings are going down. You get the boxing fans that just want to see boxing. That's all they want to see. Two people throw down, and they want to see who's the better boxer. And they don't appreciate the trash talk, the antics, the theatrics of it. They don't appreciate that. However, just having the regular boxing fans is not going to pay. It's not going to pay us. It's not. You have to get an outside crowd, people that are entertained. People want to be entertained. So this is the show biz, and it's entertainment at the end of the day. So we need to trash talk more. Set up. Back then, they used to have talk shows where Muhammad Ali would come with an opponent that he was fighting, and they would be there sitting next to each other, trash talking or doing skits together. And they were going to be in the ring in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, about to take each other's heads off. We're not doing that anymore. But back then, and that's the reason why boxing was the number one sport back then. they said boxing is like the 14th sport now, like most watched or something now, currently. So I think it's very important that the theatrics come back, the personalities come back, because there are no personalities. If you're interviewing another boxer, you may have one that just answers the question like this. I went home and I'm a boxer. But that's not, you know, you need to be lively. People want to see you be lively and be yourself. You know, be yourself. You know, everyone is not a lively person. We know that, but we do need those personalities, I think.
And how do you, you know, when things kind of turn personal, how do you, after the fight, kind of put that away and just move on?
So, like, are you talking about with the trash talking, if things...
Yeah. So say if you're trash talking and it turns a little bit ugly, but let's say you win the fight, how do you just kind of put it to bed afterwards?
Well, it's put to bed when I put my opponent to bed, you know. I knocked you out. You can't say nothing no more. I whooped your ass, you know. So that's how I feel about it. It'll suck if we were trash talking. I got my ass whooped. Now you gotta tuck your tail and walk away. You know, but I'm not the one to tuck my tail. What I would do if that scenario ever were to happen to me, God forbid, was I would train harder and I'll come back, we'll talk more trash and face you again and get the W. That's what I would do.
I love that. And that's exactly what I was hoping you'd say. So in terms of being there on fight night, where's your mind? You know, who's around you and where's your mind at?
Yep, great question. Who's around me? Usually I'm by myself, if not my older brother. I'm by myself and I'm usually watching fights. I would have watched my opponent days before his film, his fights, to study him and to know, to develop my game plan and to study my game plan. However, the day of fight night, I'm usually watching other fighters. Fighters like predominantly Floyd Mayweather, because he was very good at defense, at what he does in boxing. He was great at it. Arguably one of the greatest, or the greatest, you know.
Yeah, easy.
So I watch him a lot, and I watch different fights. And what I would do is, depending on how my opponent fights, I would watch a Floyd fight that's similar to that, where the opponent fights like my opponent. So I would watch that and then see certain moves Floyd does when the opponent does whatever they do. I'm in that headspace. I'm focused, laser sharp, of course, like anybody else, but I'm watching film, breathing. I do some type of breathing exercise that helps calm me down and then helps me breathe a lot better. I should be doing it every day, but it's really during game day or fight night that I do that breathing exercise. So that's where I'm at.
And how much in that moment before you're in the locker room getting ready, how much of, you know, the distractions of people around you or people in the locker room just chilling, hanging out, listening to music and stuff. Are you someone that likes to have a lively atmosphere, or do you want it to be dead quiet and just relaxing?
I've been in both situations. However, when there's a lot of noise, I dead the noise by going within myself. Like, I don't pay attention to anything. I do my breathing exercise. So I would say I would prefer it quiet, but I can handle a noisy, live atmosphere. It doesn't take away from me.
And given your love of Floyd Mayweather and the analysis that you do of Floyd, is defense your strongest skill in boxing?
Defense is my strongest skill. So people would say, a lot of people have said that I am awkward. I still don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But I pride myself on not getting hit. I don't like getting hit, and I don't want to get hit. One, I got to protect this beautiful face. You know, I'm an actor, model, so we can't get hit too much now. So I pride myself on my defense and my ability to trick people. I know how to set things up. So I'm not just going in there fighting. I would do something like I would hit you. I would jab you to the top, to your head, and then jab you to your head, and then fake the jab to the head, and then punch you to the stomach. Things like that. I'm playing mind games in there. I'm thinking. I'm very cerebral when it comes to boxing. So I would say my defense and being cerebral. I would say being cerebral is my greatest, because the defense is a part of being cerebral, faking people. If I'm jabbing you to your head and I'm constantly moving to my left, I'm doing that to set up going back to my right and then hitting you with something, you know. And then I'm always picking up cues on what you're doing. So if I'm moving to my left and you move your left leg first, I'm picking that up. You know, I'm looking at everything that's going on in there. So I'm not just going in there punching, punching. No. It's a lot more than that.
And what happens when you've done all your prep work, but the fighter surprises you and they do something you weren't expecting?
So that's another part of my game. Adjusting, being able to adjust. You have to be able to adjust in this game. If not, you're going to lose damn near all your fights. Because sometimes, I mean, that's what training is for, to get better, to figure out new moves. And fighters tend to do that. So when a fighter does do something like that, it'll never happen again. Let's say a fighter hits me with a good shot that I wasn't expecting. I won't let him hit me with the same shot again, because I'll be looking for that. And I will look back, we'll go to my corner, talk to my team, or my team will tell me, like, oh, he hit you with that because you did this. And he's setting it up. So focus on that. Pay attention to that. So that's how I adjust. You have to adjust. Be able and willing to adjust. You can't just be strong-headed, like, oh, this is what I know, so I'm going to do it this way. Because you'll lose a lot of your fights.
And similarly, right? When you do a lot of preparation and the fight ends first round, second round, are you disappointed? Like, you've won in this scenario.
Well, they say we don't get paid for overtime. So, so the quicker the better. I do like boxing and I enjoy boxing, but if it's against a great opponent or a better opponent, and I do that, it's kind of like an ego boost, because, wow, I just did that to somebody that's very good. That means I'm very good. So it's an ego boost.
100%. And, you know, especially earlier in your career, did you want to have longer fights so that you could experiment more?
Nah, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to knife people out. I wanted to take people's heads off. That's what I wanted to do. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. And so in terms of, you know, you have vast boxing experience now, where are some of the stadiums that you've performed at?
So I've performed in Mexico, Gomez, Palacio. I'm not sure of the stadium. I performed in LA at the Bank Stadium of California in LA. In Vegas, I performed at the T-Mobile Arena.
Wow.
I performed at Rosemont in Chicago. Well, it's a suburb of Chicago. I performed in Nigeria at the Teslim Balogun National Stadium in Nigeria. That was a very good fight. What else? I went to Philly. I've been to Philly, fought in Philly. I think that's about it. Yeah.
And in terms of where you perform, then we'll get on to Nigeria in a minute. But where's been your biggest crowd?
Biggest crowd might have to be Nigeria. At the time I was fighting, might have to be Nigeria. Yeah.
And would you fighting another Nigerian fighter like yourself, or was it someone else?
I was fighting a Nigerian fighter. So he was the current, at the time, he was the current WBC African Continental Champion. So I was fighting for his belt.
Presumably you won, right?
Yes, I did.
I thought so. Yes. So, you know, I know it's not the same, but we just saw the presentation of the African Cup of Nations in football to me, soccer to you, right? How big is boxing in Nigeria?
So boxing is on its way up. It's not definitely not as big as soccer or football. We all know football takes the cake. But it's rising. A lot of people are getting more into it. And I think this social media boxing, influence of boxing has helped too. It's given rise to people like, oh, let's box, let's learn how to box, and let's pay attention to boxers. And this is where the personalities have to come out. You get what I'm saying? People want to follow your journey. They should want to follow your journey and who you are, and be appreciative of how you entertain them. So being in Nigeria, what was the question?
The question was, how big is boxing in Nigeria?
Yeah. So boxing, like I said, the influence of boxing is adding to it. There was a fighter he's not a fighter. He's a artist, a musician. He fought a comedian. His name is Portable. So that added to it. And I actually trained Portable to fight the comedian. Charles Okocha, and my fighter won, so we're happy about that. That happened in December, and it brought a lot of eyes to boxing. People are still talking about it to this day. So I think boxing is on its way up. Government needs to put more money and more attention on boxing instead of just putting it on football alone.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. So is there little to no funding of boxing in Nigeria, then?
It's every man for himself, to be honest. In Nigeria, it's every man. It sucks when you look at the what the boxers are going through there. They're not getting no help from anybody. They don't go to tournaments, like African tournaments, because no money. The government's said they don't have no money for them, or that's what the officials say anyway. We don't know if that's true. For instance, it's a sad situation. So some of the boxers went to, I believe it was an African tournament where if you win, you get first place gets like maybe 20,000 or something like that. Second place to get 15, third place to get 10 or 5, whatever the case was. We had like 5 people that medaled, I believe. And this was about 2 years ago. They are yet to receive their money.
That's
they
devastating.
And if you look at the conditions that Africa or Nigeria is in right now, the economic difficulties that are happening right now, they need that. That money belongs to the boxers, but they are yet to receive it because the officials are giving one excuse or another, which is a sad situation. They can't do nothing about it. Who are you going to go to? Who will you go to?
But surely these are officiated by, you know, boxing councils that are vetted by the WBC or WBO and so on.
Right. So on the amateur level, no, not by the sanctioning bodies. The amateur level has their own sanctioning body, the IBA. But it's very difficult to get in contact with them as well. You have to go through online, and it's a lot. It's a lot of difficulties. So it's very tough for the boxers to do anything about their current situation. They just got to accept it and just keep going.
Is there a lot of American boxing coaches or scouts that go out to Africa or, you know, explore outside of America to see if there's any talent they can bring through?
Not in Africa, not that I know of. And that's what we're missing in Africa and in Nigeria. We're missing that because we got the fighters. And the fighters are diligent. They are persevering and very willing to get better. They train hard. You won't find anyone that trains harder than these Africans or these Nigerians. They, when I see that, I'm like, wow. They just need the coach, the right coach that can mold them into a better fighter. Because I'm telling you, if they were given the same experience that Americans have, I would say the Nigerians will win 10 times out of 10. I'm telling you, because the hunger that's there, the hunger figuratively and literally that's there, drives them to, you know, to want better for themselves. That's why they're doing it. They love it, but they're thinking that this can lead to a much better life. And, you know, boxing is a very, very difficult way to survive or to want to make a living. Very difficult way. And for them to take that path, that means either education is not there, they don't have money for education. Boxing is a sport that you don't need too much money to participate in. You go somewhere, you shadow box, you do your running, you could find gloves, well, you have to buy gloves or someone donated to you, whatever the case may be. In Africa, sometimes they don't use a heavy bag. They'll put tires that they found together, have a string, and then tires that they found together, they'll line them up and then punch the tires. So they make it happen.
And how much of the skills that the Nigerian boxers use and kind of the setup that they have, and, you know, being out there yourself and training out there, how much has that improved you, sort of training in two different styles?
It has improved me in the sense that the Nigerian fighters keep coming. You can hit them with everything. They're going to keep coming. They're very persistent.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They're like tanks. They just keep coming. The skills, though, is not that high in a lot of them. So, yes, they're strong. Their energy, their wind is there, but the skills isn't. So I can generally I can outskill them. In that sense. But it's good in the sense that I have to remain calm fighting them, relaxed fighting or sparring them.
Thank you. And when you're in the boxing ring, are you representing both Nigeria and America?
So professionally, yes. I'm representing Africa as a whole. Africa, West Africa. That's what I'm representing. And of course, the diasporans around the world. That's in my heart, in my mind, that's what I'm thinking about. That's what I'm representing. Because it's Africa to the world, West Africa to the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you ever had to face a Ghanaian world champion, would that be a dream fight for you?
A Ghanaian?
Yeah, like for, you know, WBC or WBO, would that be good for you?
You know, it's funny. I don't necessarily have that same rivalry that Nigerians have with Ghanaians and whatnot. I look at myself as, I would tell you I'm a Ghanaian. My parents are both Nigerian, but I would tell you I'm a Ghanaian. I would tell you I'm a Senegalese or a Liberian or from Ivory Coast. I would say I'm West African, and I claim all of them. So I don't have that idea in my mind that, I'm better or that you're that and I'm this when it comes to Africa, West Africa. And that's crazy coming from a Nigerian because, you know, Nigerians are very
proud
people. Yeah, they're very proud people. And I'm not going to say that they don't have a reason to be, because Nigerians are very successful and everywhere they go, they tend to succeed and exceed expectations a lot. But that's not my vision. I have a different vision for West Africa, for Africa. I believe we should be united as a people. Socially, economically, I believe that we need to come together if we want to move forward and create a better life for Africans in Africa.
And can you see yourself having more fights in Africa with European, American, or African opponents?
Definitely. We are definitely going to do that. And that's why we have to, and that's why I do go back to Africa. I was there this winter, December. I was there last December where I fought the African fight. I believe that going back and having fights brings more attention to Africa, to Nigeria, and that will allow these different fighters to now come to Nigeria or Africa and have fights. It has to be lucrative, you know. It has to be lucrative. So I'm one of the people that are trailblazing, going back to Africa, having fights, and bringing attention and awareness to African boxing.
I love that. And yeah, I mean, you've taught me a lot about, because I didn't realize that it wasn't that, you know, funded that well. And I know it's not the same, and I'm not saying that he's a boxer or a serious boxer, but people like KSI and the crossover boxers and things like that, what's your opinion of those guys?
It's great for the sport. KSI, he's a fellow Nigerian as well, so yeah. Kudos to him. Maybe one day I'll come and teach him a few things, spar with him, or whatever the case is. But I think it's great for the sport because, like I said, it's bringing eyes to boxing. His fan base and his friends' fan base, they're coming to boxing and appreciating boxing more. And KSI, they are having real boxers on some of their shows, which is a good thing. So those boxers now get exposure to the different fan base. So I think it's a good thing. I'm not a hater. I'm not mad on, why does KSI get to make this much money and he never boxed? He's not a true boxer. Man, shut up. Well, you go be a content creator then. You go exactly. Do what he does and then get in his position. Stop hating. I'm the type, I don't hate on anywhere anybody is. One, I don't know how they got there and how long they'll be there and the sacrifices they had to take to get there. So I don't hate on anybody, or I'm not mad that anyone is doing something and I'm not reaping and I'm doing the same thing. I'm not like that. That's not me.
And one thing you just said there about sacrifice, what's been the biggest sacrifice to your life as you pursue boxing professionally?
Women. giving up women. No, I'm just playing.
I was going to say.
No, I would say my biggest sacrifice is my time. My time, because there are things that I want to be doing, other things that I have to do or that I want to do that I have the boxing. My time is the biggest sacrifice, but it's worth it though. It's definitely worth it because reaching my goals and sacrifice the time now so I can feel better or reach my goals later. And that's how I view it. Yeah, just sacrifice the time now so I can achieve later.
And looking beyond boxing, are you wanting to get back into acting? You know, what's the plan? Is it to stop boxing at a certain age? Like, where's your head?
Right. So, of course, I will always be an actor. Acting is just something, it's just who I am since I was young. And I'm always, if there's a role, don't get me wrong, right now, we'll look at it, we'll check it out. If it makes sense, we'll do the role currently. It's something that I will definitely always do after the boxing. Boxing, I don't plan. I plan on leaving around, I'll give it I'll give it around 5 years. I would give it around 5 years. And the reason why is because boxing, like I said, it's a tough sport. And getting hit repeatedly behind the head or in the head is not a good thing. It can cause brain damage. It can cause you to slur your words in the future. I might have already slurred a few words here, you know, and it doesn't allow you to think clearly at times if you get hit in the head. Punch drunk syndrome, that's what it's called. So, or CTE, you can get CTE, like what American football players get. So I don't plan on staying in boxing for too long for that reason, because I have other loves, or I have a brain, and my brain works, you know. I would
you
say
got two
I'm
degrees.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're right.
To stay in it too long. And, you know, given that situation, then how do you recover? And how do you have a certain rule where, you know, you only have, you need like a 2 or 3 month gap before a fight just to make sure you're conditioned?
No, I would say I'm old school. So when I first started my boxing career, my professional career, I was ready for the next fight the next day. So I wanted to get as many fights as possible as they came. So that's what I did, and that's how I view boxing. Because like I said, I have a lot to achieve in life, but in boxing as well. And I want to be able to achieve it quickly. I don't want to stay in boxing for too long. So that's definitely my outlook on things, on how to move in this boxing game. I don't need the rest. What am I going to go rest and do? Get fat? I don't get fat. Go mess up, get in trouble? Like, no, I don't need that time to rest. And if I'm already in shape, why not just continue? Go to the next fight. You know, that makes sense to me. But that's not, let me tell you, that's not what boxers do nowadays. No, they get fat. They get 30 to 40 pounds overweight from their fighting weight. They stop training. I'm always in the gym. Always in the gym. Yeah. Holidays, it doesn't matter. I'm always in the gym. So that's the difference.
I like your mindset. And have you ever had to cut weight or make weight for a fight?
Yeah, so most of my fights I have to cut weight. Professionally, I have to cut weight. So I fight at light heavyweight, which I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with pounds, if your audience is, but 175 pounds. I don't know how many stones that is, because I don't know how much stones weigh, but 175 pounds.
Maybe like 13, I think, maybe. I don't know, I'm guessing. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with it. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, so yeah. I have to cut like 10 pounds usually, around 10 pounds. I weigh 185. I walk around weight, which is very good. Boxers don't do that. Like I said, they blow up. They gain 30 to 40 pounds, and then they have to lose it. And that's the excruciating part of their camp. So a lot of the time, boxers' camps are used to lose weight. So me, I don't have to go on a crazy diet to lose the weight. I could just reduce my portion size and lose the weight.
And what is your diet as a pro boxer?
Good question. So I eat a lot of vegetables, Brussels sprouts. I eat chicken. It'll be rice. And all of it is seasoned. I don't have to do any crazy diet. Sweet potatoes, usually. So avocado as well. And water. I stick to water. I drink a lot of water. Gotta have the water. Water's the most important thing.
And I've always wondered something about boxing. How do you select your walkout music? Who selects it?
The music?
Yeah.
During training, so the music I use during training, it really depends on my mood, to be honest. Because it varies. It's here, there, near. Yeah, it's everywhere. I'm going to be honest. The music, it really just depends on my mood. Because if I'm want to listen to hip hop, I'll listen to that, or gangster rap, I'll listen to that, or sometimes R&B or slow blues or Afro beats. It just depends, really. Or if I want to listen to a certain artist, I'll just go on there, catalog, and listen to them. So it really just depends. It varies with me.
And when you're actually, you know, you're walking out in front of a crowd,
yeah,
what do you have, like a particular song that you always play?
Not a specific song. Usually I would play, what I have been playing have been Afrobeat songs, you know, to get people to know that, oh, it's an African that's coming out, and to support our fellow Africans, it would be an Afrobeat song. So it would be like a hot Afrobeat song that's out right now that I would play and come out to.
I love that. And would you ever want to have someone like a Burna Boy or a Mr. Easy or someone like that kind of open for you?
Yeah, of course. Davido, Ashake, Wizkid. Yeah. Of course. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen soon. They will do it.
I think I can imagine it happening kind of, especially if you was to fight in the UK. Is that on the cards?
Of course. I have to fight in the UK. I have to. UK is big on boxing. They are.
We are.
I have a friend, actually, that lives in Manchester. He's a boxer. He fights in Nigeria as well, too. His name is Ezra. I will come to the UK and fight. It's on my list.
Got to send me a ticket, man.
I might have to fight one of your people, though.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Do it.
what's his name? There's one of your fighters that has been gaining a lot of traction because he fights. He dances when he fights, kind of like
Ben Whitaker, I think.
Yeah. I might have to fight him. We're in the same weight category, so I might have to fight him, man.
I'm taking it he won't be dancing with you.
Oh no, he ain't gonna be doing all that. Okay, you could try. He ain't gonna be. You know, I like what he's doing because, like I said, it's the personalities that matter.
Yeah.
So and people hate it, especially British fans. They do not like that because a lot of them, not all of them, obviously, but a lot of them don't like that because they want you to respect your opponent. England's very good or big on the respect and of your opponent, and whatnot. But that's looked at as being disrespectful. And or an American thing. So him doing that, I appreciate it. I think it's bringing. Obviously, you see that it's gaining traction. People are sharing 100%. It. You know, so that's what we need. That's good. But he ain't gonna be doing that with me. Well, the only dancing he's gonna be doing is when he's knocked out.
Yeah, Bola, you got to make it happen. I don't know who you got to talk to. Eddie Hearn, right, or someone. I don't know who his promoter is, Frank Warren, I don't know, but yeah. you got to make it happen. And exactly. Just to kind of, I know Ben would be a good fight, but if you could fight anybody in the sport ever, like who's your fantasy fight? Who would it have been?
Well, if you keep asking me questions, it's going to be you.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I'll take a pass on that one.
Who would I fight? If I could fight anybody, I would fight probably Roy Jones Jr.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm pretty athletic myself, and I want to see who's more athletic, who can trick who in the ring, who has a better strategy. I would say Roy Jones, definitely, because he's awkward in a sense, or he does things his way. So I would choose Roy Jones.
Okay. Well, given his age, it might be a bit unfair, but I suppose when you get onto the new Fight Night game, you can run it back.
You're damn right. Yes, and I will.
Good. Oh, Bolo, mate, I've really enjoyed speaking with you, and I'm just mindful of time, but I've learned a lot about the sport. I've learned about what it takes to make it. I've been really gripped by the energy and enthusiasm you have for boxing in Africa. And, you know, not only have you won a fan, but I'll now go off and start researching boxing in Africa and, you know, speak to my best friend who's Nigerian and ask him if he knows any sort of boxers, you know, fighting out of Lagos or anything like that. And yeah, it's going to be good. So yeah, thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And you guys, make sure you check out my Instagram, and that's at team_Abel, and Abel is spelled A-B-E-L. So I appreciate you guys. Stay blessed and make sure you check me out and subscribe to his channel too.
Thank you. Have a great day, champ.
Thank you for listening to this episode of An Athlete's Blueprint. The authentic stories shared in this podcast aren't for everybody. They were just for you, a true sports enthusiast. Whether you're going into your next practice session or at the starting line for the finals, take the winner's insight from the athletes and the coaches you heard from today. Remember, this advice is only available on An Athlete's Blueprint podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.